Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome into the first ever three-episode day of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And boy, have we had a busy day. Started off very early in the morning, had the late-night rumors from Mark Stein last night about Chris Paul becoming increasingly realistic for the Rockets. My initial takeaway was that it made a Ryan Anderson move more likely than ever and potentially imminent because of the need to create immediate cap space going into July 1st. Then a few hours after that, of course, we found out what Daryl Morey knew at 4 a.m. this morning. The Rockets had agreed to a trade for Chris Paul. The Clippers apparently approached the Rockets. We found out later from Daryl at his press conference this afternoon about that. The advantages of a trade for both sides, obviously the Clippers getting some value, trade being possible because Chris Paul opted into the last year of his existing contract. The benefit to the Rockets, they get him at a much lower initial cap figure, $24 million next year rather than $35. That's $11 million to play with. Also, by doing it before free agency, the Rockets don't have to go under the salary cap to absorb Paul, so they get much higher unless they go under for someone else, which seems unlikely. The Rockets will get the full exceptions, more than $8 million at the mid-level rather than just the base level for if you are an under-the-cap team. So the Rockets are able to preserve all their exceptions by staying over the cap by virtue of trading for Chris Paul in advance. Hadn't really thought of it as a possibility because, for starters, Chris Paul is taking $11 million less in guaranteed money next year, and he's actually passing up a guaranteed contract that would have been somewhere in between $150 and $200 million over the next 4 to 5 years for a one-year deal. However, he's willing to do it for a couple of reasons. Number one, it helps the Rockets be more competitive in the short term because certainly with him at $24 million, you have a better chance at putting further additions around Chris Paul and James Harden. And then beyond that, this is where what I've said for the last couple of weeks, ever since Chris Paul's interest became known, the Rockets have a great reputation for treating their stars correctly. So even though they're not able to officially say, look, we've talked about an extension, they certainly can't announce it or anything like that. At the same time, stars around the league, and especially Chris Paul, they know the Rockets are an organization that treats their stars right. This is where the Rockets' treatment of James Harden, Dwight Howard, you go all the way back to Tracy and Yao, Hakeem, all of that stuff over the 25-plus years of Les Alexander, all of that comes into play. The fact that the Rockets pursued Chris Paul in 2013 and almost had him before the Clippers swung the deal for Doc Rivers just before free agency to make Doc their coach. All of that stuff made a high degree of comfort between Chris Paul and the Rockets to the point where he made a move opting into his contract, taking significantly less guaranteed money both in year one and over the life of the contract, at least for right now. Now, he could get the five-year, $200 million deal next summer from the Rockets because he'll just be 33, which would take him through 38, conveniently. Chris Paul, big reason why. The age 36 rule was now age 38, so he can still get the five-year deal next summer, assuming both he and the Rockets want to do that. But I think that's a safe bet because certainly Chris Paul, very cerebral, high IQ player, I think he's a candidate to age fairly gracefully relative to other players that are 100% dependent on their athleticism. But all of those factors are why this trade was realistic, even though none of us really thought of it, because popular logic, people are going to take the money. But you combine it with a player that really wants to win now, and an organization that has a reputation for treating its stars right, and because of that, they were able to come to kind of a creative understanding. And the interesting thing about it, according to Daryl Morey, and this podcast, this is going to be kind of my rambling thoughts now that I've had a few hours. If you want to see my immediate thoughts go back to my podcast from this morning, the second of the day in which I broke down my immediate takeaways in the minutes immediately after the trade was broken by Woj. But this podcast, combination of extended thoughts after waiting a few hours to kind of absorb all the information and from hearing Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni at this afternoon's press conference at Toyota Center. But the interesting thing, according to Daryl Morey, is that actually it was the Clippers that initiated the conversation about the trade. Apparently, we know that Chris Paul met with the Clippers yesterday, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. We don't know, or we didn't know at the time what was said in that meeting. Now it's pretty clear what was said. Chris Paul told the Clippers that he was ready to head to the Rockets. And rather than wait on a sign and trade, which could further diminish the leverage of the Clippers, the Clippers went to the Rockets and Daryl Morey and said, hey, what if we do this now? And of course, they had to get Chris Paul on board, and maybe that's something that they presented to Chris Paul yesterday, or maybe it's something that the Clippers and Rockets discussed after Chris Paul gave him the news that he was heading to Houston regardless. We don't know the particulars. But the bottom line is the high degree of comfort that Chris Paul has with the Rockets and their history of treating stars correctly is a big part of why he was willing to take this leap of faith on the franchise and pass up all this guaranteed money. We didn't think it was doable, but the Clippers are open to doing a deal now because they did get decent value on it. Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, those are proven veterans on very good contracts. Either they can be positive contributors to the Clippers now if they keep Blake Griffin and try to at least be a playoff team in the near future, or you can eventually flip those guys for their assets down the line. And, of course, they get quality young players, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, a first-round pick from Houston. So the Clippers had ample incentive to do it now. Clearly the Rockets did because they get him in a much lower cap figure and they know going into free agency that they have their exceptions. They also, in free agency discussions, trade discussions, they have Chris Paul going into free agency. That is a huge perk for Daryl Morey. He said repeatedly at the press conference that getting him before July 1st is a big selling point that whoever they're in negotiations with, they can essentially go to the table and say, hey, we've got Chris Paul and, of course, James Harden, and that's a pretty big selling point. And one of the questions I've been hearing a little bit from Rockets fans, of course, everyone's overjoyed. If you can add a Hall of Fame player who's still in his prime to your team, of course, you're going to be really freaking excited. Obviously, one of the best point guards of all time, perhaps as high as second after just Magic Johnson. That's how good this guy is. And if you look at his advanced numbers, even at age 32, he is still very much in his prime. And I think potentially pairing him with James Harden can help him extend those prime years even further because it's going to be good for both of those guys, Chris and James, to reduce their usage a little bit and play together as opposed to taking the full playmaking burden by themselves. And of course, doing that is going to have more of an effect on their lifespan and cause them to age a little bit earlier. But the one small concern I've had from Rockets fans is why did they give up so many assets? And I don't think anyone's that upset about Pat Beverley or Lou Williams. Now, yes, those guys, especially Pat Beverley, were very good in Houston, quality players. They'll be missed. But the bottom line is to make salary cap room for a player like Chris Paul, a lot of guys are going to have to go anyway. And I think people have come to grips with losing the veterans. It's Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, and the first-round pick. Now, Montrezl Harrell, it turns out, according to Daryl Morey, was not really in the plans to be dealt at all. It just so happened that his salary was needed at the last minute to make the trade work today. And as I said, it was very important for a lot of reasons, keeping the exceptions, staying over the cap, having Chris Paul ready on July 1st and a member of the organization. It was a big deal for the Rockets to get it done now. And so at the last minute, they just had to throw in Montrezl Harrell for cap matching reasons. And that's unfortunate because I think he can really be a good player in the league. But people wondering, if Chris Paul was going to sign in Houston anyway, why give up these young assets? And the answer to that, first off, the Clippers knew that was a benefit to the Rockets, and so yes, they had some leverage, because otherwise they could have just pushed Chris Paul into free agency. The odds are the Rockets would have needed a sign and trade anyway, and you would have brought in more time, more variables into the equation. The Rockets wouldn't have had him on July 1st. Of course, Chris, I'm sure, would have taken a meeting with the San Antonio Spurs, as well as any number of other teams. The Clippers had some leverage here because they were doing Chris a favor. Chris was certainly doing the Rockets a favor. So the Rockets, in exchange for that certainty, they needed to give up some assets. So the Clippers, led now by Jerry West, they played this fairly well. The other aspect is for the Rockets, by doing this now, yeah, you probably had to pay a little bit more in the form of young assets that you might not be able to otherwise, but the Rockets believe that they can recoup that value on the back end because, of course, by doing the deal now, as we stated earlier, they keep all of their exceptions as an over-the-cap team, so doing it now, they maintain that status, and then, of course, by having Chris Paul, even before July 1st, I mean, conceivably, they could swing a trade even before the beginning of the year, since the Rockets are planning on acting as an over-the-cap team. Sure, they could trade for a free agent like Paul Millsap to fill out that big three, or they could look into Paul George. We know they're still in the market for that. Carmelo Anthony, I think the first choice would be a buyout, but it's not implausible if they were willing to take Ryan Anderson that you could trade for Carmelo Anthony. There's a lot of potential here. So the bottom line is, yes, the Rockets gave up more talent right now as we talk on June 28th than I think a lot of fans may have anticipated. But the bottom line is they believe that over the long haul, in the long haul, I'm talking about just a week or two, that that's probably going to be recouped. And I think we're at a point now where I think Rockets fans have to understand, with Chris Paul in place at 32 years old and James going to turn 28, the window is the next 3 to 5 years. That's the window. And everything that the Rockets do, I think you're going to, it's not that they're going to punt on any young assets, but this is going to be a team, just as we've seen Cleveland do around LeBron, what we see a lot of these veteran teams do. Yes, you've got to make sure you have assets to continue building your team going forward. Daryl Morey said that. But there's going to be more of an emphasis on the here and now. There's going to be less room to develop younger players, because now it's not just better with Chris Paul and James Harden, but because you have those guys, you're going to be more of a true magnet for free agents, and not just top-of-the-line free agents, also the ring chasers, the David West types, where you see them go to Golden State or San Antonio for pennies on the dollar and say, wow, why can't we get someone that to fill out our rotation? Well, now the Rockets are going to be in a position not just for the high-end guys, but also the middle-tier guys that are willing to sign for cheap because they want to contend. Now the Rockets are one of the glamour teams. They're one of the it teams. So there is a little bit less emphasis on the young players simply because you're not going to have time to play them. Now, I don't think the Rockets are going to give them up for free. I think any young players you can get are great. And, of course, they have Joe Chi in the fold. They drafted Isaiah Hartenstein last week. They've given out longer-term contracts to the likes of Isaiah Taylor. And so if they can find younger players, they'll do it. But I don't think that you'll see a huge hesitation for the Rockets to give one of those guys up if they have to make a deal work, because it's going to be hard for them to get the playing time over the near future that is probably needed for their development. So I think those factors are why, even though it's a little bit of a hit and the Rockets give up slightly more value in terms of young assets than I think a lot of Rockets fans may have anticipated, the bottom line is that a trade for Chris Paul is such a transformational move that it kind of changes the perspective of your franchise for the next 3 to 5 years. And so I think that's why guys such as Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell, while they are solid prospects, become a little bit more expendable under this scenario. Now, as far as the fun stuff, where do the Rockets go from here? We heard from Tim McMahon of ESPN that the Rockets think they're getting Carmelo or Paul George. David Morey, geez, that shows you how tired I am after doing so many of these. Daryl Morey did not indicate anything like that in the press conference. He, of course, alluded to that he thinks that Chris and James together is a great recruiting team. They're very optimistic, as they should be. He didn't mention the pursuit of any big-name players. He did single out pretty much all the existing veterans on the roster. Trevor, Eric, Ryan Anderson, Clint Capella, Nene, who's a free agent, but I think we all expect Nene to come back at this point. He loves Houston, and Houston loves him. He's perfect for one of those I'll call them David West roles, as we were just discussing. But he singled out all of those guys as important members of the core, in addition, of course, to Chris Paul and James Harden. Daryl didn't indicate that anything major was in the works, but again, all of that is lip service. He's got to say that, because until the deal is done, these guys are under contract, many of them for very, very large amounts. So until a deal is done, I wouldn't expect him to tip his hand in any way. But the bottom line is, you know, with Chris Paul and James Harden, these are two guys in the prime of their careers that have a ton of influence around the league. And, yeah, we've heard all offseason about their big plans, trying to form a big three, up their risk profile. And Chris Paul and James Harden, it's a great foundation, but that in and of itself is not level to the Warriors. You need at least one more all-star level piece, in my opinion. opinion. So, you know, it could come by free agency. We've heard Paul Millsap a lot, and the Hawks apparently are open to a sign and trade. That's one that the Rockets could add through a sign and trade. You could even see Ryan Anderson moved in that, and of course preserve the mid-level exception for other players, or who knows, if a buyout is reached with Carmelo Anthony. But other than that, you can also see that they're in the market for Paul George. Their assets are a little diminished after losing Decker, Harrell in the first. But again, they can trade future first down the line. They can't trade in back-to-back years, but 2020, 2022, they can move those. They still have Eric Gordon to help facilitate a deal. And all of Daryl Morey's ridiculous amount of movement today, they have even more non-guaranteed contracts than before. So again, it's not easy. The Rockets have fewer assets than today, but Eric Gordon's still a quality asset. I think it's enough to be in the ballgame for George. And who knows, if Chris Paul and James Harden are able to pull some strings behind the scenes and get Paul George to kind of try and force his way to Houston. And we did hear from Sam Amick of USA Today that George has been working behind the scenes talking to a few other players about potentially teaming up in locations other than Los Angeles with the Lakers. Then who knows, maybe you can leverage Indiana into a deal. Eric Gordon is from there. He's still on an excellent contract. And so there's potential for that. And of course, there's Carmelo. Carmelo via buyout is probably the most friendly scenario. However, the Knicks say that they want to trade him. And I will say that if the Knicks were willing to take Ryan Anderson, I do think there's a deal to be had. You could trade Ryan Anderson in two minimum contracts, and that works under the salary cap. I think the Rockets would prefer to simply add Carmelo as a buyout candidate, but I think they'd be willing to offer Ryan, because the thing is, even if you're giving up the value of Ryan Anderson on your team, and make no mistake, Ryan Anderson can still play a positive role for these Rockets. When you have Chris Paul and James Harden, you need all the shooters you can get. And even with Ryan's defensive deficiencies, if you can limit his minutes to 20 to 25 a game, he can be a huge contributor. But, you know, would they move him for Carmelo? Of course they would, because Carmelo can be a borderline all-star player, even at this age, whereas Ryan certainly is not. So if the Knicks were willing to accept that contract, you could move for Carmelo as well. And even though you'd be losing Ryan as an asset, then it's not like Carmelo would be signing with you for the minimum after a buyout. I would say at the very least, if Carmelo was bought out, you'd have to offer him the full $8.4 million mid-level exception that the Rockets now have in full as an over-the-cap team. So if you were to trade Ryan Anderson and acquire Carmelo in a trade, then you could conceivably replace Ryan as an asset by using that mid-level exception on someone else other than Carmelo. So it's not like you'd be trading Ryan just to ditch him. In essence, by acquiring Carmelo in some way other than a buyout, you would then free up your mid-level exception to be completely open with that on July 1st and go after anyone you think could upgrade this team. And especially with the Rockets, I don't think it's about positions anymore, because certainly there's no place where they're just glaringly deficient. They have obviously a great backcourt, best in the NBA, Chris Paul and James Harden. Feel good about the center rotation with Clint Capella, hopefully taking another step forward. And it seems like Nene is likely to be back. Daryl Morey referenced him with the core today, and I think he definitely wants to be here. So I think really what you're looking for, it's not like there's this glaring need, it's just more shooting, more defense. That's what you need. More 3 and D wherever you can get it. And it's less about positions, more about just the best values where you can get it. I think the immediate needs, an all-star wherever they can get it, and then fill them up with as many 3 and D as you can. Ideally, guys that can switch a little bit and play the various roles defensively that are needed when you're going up against a team that has Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green over at the wings. Now, again, in this afternoon's press conference, it was all about Chris Paul. Daryl's not going to speculate, especially because any of those major moves, because the Rockets are now going to operate, it seems, as an over-the-cap team. That's part of the incentive for them to do this trade now. Any major move likely involves someone under contract, probably someone making significant value, such as Ryan Anderson or Eric Gordon, going elsewhere. So they're not going to talk about that right now. But I think it's a clear emphasis from the rumors we've seen Daryl Morey involved in this offseason, and just the obvious that Chris Paul and James Harden, you're in a win-now mode. They're going to be looking very aggressively to try and pair even more all-star talent around them. It may not be ready now, but it probably won't take that long either, because I think July 1st is kind of a deadline for everyone that's a seller around the league. If you're a free agent if you're a team with a free agent like Atlanta with Paul Millsap, obviously you want to move quickly, else they just sign somewhere in the cap space and you get nothing in return. And if you're a team like New York with Carmelo or Indiana with Paul George, you need to act fairly quickly or else your list of suitors is going to dry up, because teams are going to replace their need in some cases with free agents. So there is an emphasis on moving quickly. We didn't hear it from Gerald today, but we did, of course, have the rumors. As I said, Tim McMahon out of ESPN in Dallas, that's probably the biggest one. But besides the rumors, it didn't take a genius to figure out with everything we've heard the last 2 weeks that Gerald Morey is not done, even if he didn't discuss it today because this was about Chris Paul and what's done. Yes, trust me, they are very much still working and trying to acquire yet another big fish to put around Chris and James. By the way, one final note about the acquisitions or future acquisition process, I should say. There's been a little too much, in my opinion, made of a report by Zach Lowe of ESPN this afternoon that said that the Rockets had looked around on Ryan Anderson, but that he would be hard to move. He referenced GMs who were not contacted by the Rockets as saying that it would, in their eyes, take 2 first-round picks for the Rockets to move Anderson, that he's that much of a negative contract. Well, I don't buy it for a lot of levels. First off, all it takes is one team. The NBA landscape is littered with salary dumps where you see teams saying, how can they dump so-and-so? I think back to when Golden State, the year they signed Andre Iguodala, the Bjelica contract and someone else, they dumped over $20 million in salary, which back then was enormous, close to like 35 or 40 now. In a trade with Utah, I think all they gave up was like 2 late-round picks to move what is the equivalent, as I said now, of like $35 to $40 million in cap space for players significantly worse than Ryan Anderson. So again, first things first, it only takes one team. Besides that, Zach Lowe admits that none of the teams he talked to were contacted by the Rockets. So the odds are, if Gerald Morey wasn't in discussions with them, then he was pretty confident that they weren't really a team that was looking to trade for Ryan Anderson. So if it's a team that doesn't want Ryan Anderson, of course they're going to want 2 first-round picks to trade for him because they don't really see him as a fit. The question is what someone would give up if they are interested in Ryan Anderson. And maybe that team doesn't exist. I don't know. This is me speculating. But just a couple of GMs around the league with cap space saying that they would need 2 first-round picks to absorb Ryan, that doesn't really say anything, because if their team doesn't need a power forward, or if they just don't want him for whatever reason, okay, well, what about the team that does want him? What you really need to make that story secure is, you know, this team, you know, you pulled everyone, or this is the team that is interested in Ryan, but this is what they're willing to give up. The final piece of the puzzle is no one negotiates, by especially in a media negotiation, which is what this is, and they know it when they're talking to Zach Lowe, by giving their final offer. You come in with a higher offer so that when you negotiate, you can come up on something reasonable, maybe 1 first-round pick instead of 2. But yeah, if someone asks you, what do you need, and you think you can get positive assets from another team in exchange for whoever it is, well, of course, you're going to ask for a laughably high figure. It's just like when you're negotiating to buy a car or anything else. You don't start with your final offer. So again, I'm not saying that Ryan's a great contractor, that he's an asset. I just think there's entirely too much being made of what was essentially a few lines at the very back of a column that wasn't even about Ryan Anderson. It was really about Chris Paul and what happens here in Houston with Chris and James Harden. That was essentially, interesting stuff from Zach, but there's a reason it didn't lead the story. And again, I'm not criticizing Zach Lowe at all. He is a great journalist. I think he's reporting what he heard, and it's valuable information. I'm certainly not convinced that Ryan's a positive asset after that, but I also don't think you can take it as literally as some are. It's valuable information, but you have to put it in the proper context. And, you know, he's probably not a positive asset, but he's also not that negative either. There are some extenuating circumstances there. And while, again, at this point, I don't know if the Rockets move him simply because they're looking to be an over-the-cap team, and he may have more value to the Rockets as a team that wants to win now than he would simply with a salary dump. But if Atlanta's open to taking him in a Paul Millsap trade, or if the Knicks see him as positive value for Carmelo and they'd rather save face than buy him out, then, in my opinion, it's still possible, and nothing that I saw from Zach makes me doubt that one of those scenarios is feasible. Now, that's all the future stuff. We'll have much more in the coming days about Paul George, Carmelo, Paul Millsap, anyone else the Rockets might go after. Just stay tuned to Twitter. I'm sure it's going to be updated constantly because, well, the Rockets, and the interesting thing about it, of course, some of these guys like Millsap are free agents, but others, straight candidates, it could happen at any time. It could happen tonight, Thursday, Friday. So rumors are going to keep going. As I said, didn't take a genius to figure out that the Rockets, despite Gerald Morey not really talking about another big acquisition this afternoon, are still aggressive. So just stay tuned on that. To close out, what I want to talk about is what we learned from the presser this afternoon, and that's about the fit between Chris Paul and James Harden and these current Rockets, and why the Rockets basically did not listen to the naysayers who were skeptical about it. They answered all the questions positively, of course, saying repeatedly he's a Hall of Famer, elite player, just a transformational guy, just the same as James is. Daryl said that with Chris and James, he thinks the Rockets have the two best playmakers in the entire NBA. And you can argue that. Now, I'd also say that Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, they're pretty damn good playmakers in their own right. But certainly Chris Paul and James Harden, I'd say they're definitely two top five guys from a playmaking standpoint at the very least, possibly even more than that. You can make an argument that they're the best two, certainly. But in addition to that, we heard all the right things about the fit. Is it awkward that they're both ball-dominant guys historically? Last year they were point guards. In theory, it could be, but as Mike D'Antoni said, it could have been when Kevin Durant went to Golden State. It could have been on Team USA when all these guys come together. But the bottom line is, it isn't, because these guys want to win, and they know it going in. And the confident thing about this, James Harden got this deal done by working Chris Paul relentlessly. We have heard that over and over again. To get the degree of comfort needed for Chris Paul to commit to Houston, even giving up a lot of guaranteed money in the process, James has been all over this. So they go into this knowing that, sure, it might be a little different for both of them, but it's probably what they need. You could argue this earlier for the longevity of their careers, but even in the short term, the diversity and in their potential attack, the way they can help each other by playing off the ball a little more. Chris, in particular, is a great shooter. Then all of that stuff can make them a better threat to the Warriors. And just as Kevin Durant gave up a little bit in his usage to go to a better team, then if you want to compete with them, and Chris Paul is the ultimate competitor, then that's what you need to do. So I think it speaks volumes that Chris and James are on the same page with this, and that James was so successful in working him over the past few weeks. And I can't say enough about that. Daryl Morey said repeatedly today that James is a guy that players always want to play with. He said he's a reason everyone wants to come to Houston. Now, I know some fans would always say, well, look at the guys they've missed in free agency. Well, if I said that's not really an indictment on your team, it's just so hard to land these top guys because everybody wants them. But folks, this is a case where he really wanted to be in Houston, and James got the job done. People are making the comparison to the Clippers, and I know why, because technically the Clippers could offer him a $205 million. And they're a big market team from L.A., basically the capital of the NBA, and now you're having a top 10 guy leave a franchise. Yeah, it's a big deal. But to me, for the Rockets, the real story is actually how they outmaneuvered the Spurs on this. Because I think it's pretty clear. We have heard for months about mutual attraction between the Spurs and Chris Paul. We had news that Pau Gasol opted out of his contract last week. We had rumors that LaMarcus Aldridge and Danny Green, Aldridge a max guy, and Danny Green, a guy who gave up a lot of money to re-sign with San Antonio in 2015, a longtime stalwart in San Antonio. Folks, there's not many difference makers on this free agency market. If you want to compete with the Warriors, the types of names the Spurs have been linked to other than Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, Andre Iguodala, George Hill, that's not going to cut it. Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant are going nowhere. The true difference maker is Chris Paul. He was by far the most available name on the market, and that's why the Spurs were willing to move heaven and earth to get it done. And they were in position to do it. And a lot of folks said, well, they have an easier fit at point guard because there's a vacancy. Everyone knows, well, Tony Parker is hurt and he's aging anyway. There's a vacancy at point guard. They had the best coach in the game in Greg Popovich. Kawhi Leonard, a star that's even younger than James Harden. They have all this culture. They actually won six more games than the Rockets last year and, of course, beat them in the playoffs. How can the Rockets compete with that? And, of course, as I said, you couldn't take the comparison literally because neither of those teams, and Daryl Morey said as much in the press conference, is ready to take on the Warriors just with Chris Paul. You've got to build more. And so it came down to a partnership. And Chris and James had a relationship already from Team USA. That's more than Chris had with Kawhi Leonard. And so I think that definitely helped Chris have a degree of comfort with James. And also, as I said, there's history between Chris and this organization. He looked very closely in 2013. He's seen how the franchise treats its stars right. So those things were perks. But above all else, the Spurs, they have quite a reputation. They were going to have the money. They made it clear that they were in the game for Chris Paul. They were very serious about it. And despite all of that, Chris did not even make it free agency. He decided before free agency, before even getting in a room with Greg Popovich and those guys, that Houston was the place for him. And that speaks to the job that James Harden did. And for all we've heard in the past about how is James Harden attractive to other superstars, and I never bought the idea that it wasn't, because I've said before, it's just, quite frankly, very difficult to get guys to say yes. But not only is James attractive to other superstars, he just attracted another superstar, a top 10 guy, not just top 10 guy, as Daryl Morey previously said, transcendent, as the president of the union, his impact goes beyond basketball. James Harden attracted a legend, and a legend that actually plays somewhat the same position as James. So if any reason for there to be a conflict in terms of James's style of play, Chris Paul would be the guy that fit least, and yet James still got it done. So I think that speaks to the connections that James has around the league, the respect that he has, and if there was any concern whatsoever about James Harden as a teammate, as a foundation piece moving forward, I think we can safely put those to bed with the acquisition of Chris Paul. And of course, we heard repeatedly from Mike D'Antoni about how he thinks they can be used together. I asked specifically about the mid-range game and how the Rockets can mesh that with their traditionally three-point heavy approach. Daryl joked that if you're a Hall of Fame player, you can do whatever you want. But Mike D'Antoni elaborated a little bit as well. He drew a comparison to Steve Nash when he was in Phoenix. And Nash, of course, had a tremendous mid-range game, was excellent from there, and they used it a lot. And it's one of those things, as I said before, you can get a Chris Paul, you adapt the system to him rather than adapt him to your system. And then beyond that, if he takes a few more threes, that's great, because he shot 41% from three last year. He's a great three-point shooter. So I think there can absolutely be a marriage there. I'm not worried about the mid-range game. Actually, I see it as an asset, because as Brian Geltzeiler has told me on this very show, I think the Rockets needed more diversity in their attack stylistically against teams like San Antonio in the playoffs. I think that showed a need. And so Chris Paul, not only is going to bring another point guard, which Mike D'Antoni said he thinks it's great to have two point guards, that's the engines that run his system. But beyond that, if Chris Paul brings a mid-range game to the Rockets, that's another area of the court that teams have to defend. So yes, that absolutely is a big deal. But we heard all the right things that they're ready to integrate. We haven't heard from Chris yet, but I think by giving up all the guaranteed money, he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's pretty clearly ready to integrate himself with the Rockets as well. Other big takeaway from an X's and O's perspective, we heard D'Antoni say that he planned on having either James or Chris out there for all 48 minutes of the game. That's going to be absolutely huge, because even last year when the Rockets had a better bench with Eric Gordon and then Lou Williams down the stretch, we did see, especially in the playoffs against big-time teams, the problems the Rockets had in the 6 minutes at the beginning of the second and fourth quarters when James Harden went to the bench. When you are a team like the Rockets, even if you get all these great shooters, when superstars make the world go round, and if you're playing minutes without a star, you are going to be prone to drop off relative to your minutes with that superstar. So to be able to cover all 48 minutes with, well, not just a superstar at all times, but a superstar floor general, whoever it is out there, is going to be the point guard. That's going to be huge. And I think that's going to be a big step towards the Rockets not having some of the lulls in the second and fourth quarters that I won't say that they had all throughout the season, because overall they had a really good bench. But from time to time, especially against good opponents, I felt like that was a little bit of a weakness for them, those minutes without James Harden. And so I think Chris Paul being able to stagger the minutes for those two and have someone on the court at all times, assuming, of course, health and no foul trouble, then that's a big thing for the Rockets as well. But beyond that, I don't want to go too much into the X and O's just yet, because we know this roster is not a finished product just yet. I think we all expect one more marquee acquisition. And so in terms of exactly what the minute shot distribution is going to be, exactly what the needs are going forward, well, let's wait a few days and let's see what the roster looks like by July 3rd or July 4th before we get too deep into that. I think right now it's less about the X's and O's of exactly who the rotation is going to be, the plays, and it's more about just big picture. Can Chris Paul and James Harden coexist? And of course they think they can, but I think all the answers from a leadership perspective from Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey were spot on about having a plan to do this. And of course it's not just forcing Chris a square peg into a round hole. It's about adapting some of your system to him as well, because he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. And everything we heard from Daryl and Mike this afternoon, in my opinion, was spot on in terms of having a plan to integrate Chris Paul, who, again, when he's healthy, in my opinion, he's still clearly a top 10 player in this league and a guy who could be the second best point guard of all time behind only Magic Johnson. Whew. So, is that enough for you guys? Third episode for me today. I think my voice is just about shot, so I guess that's my cue to wrap it for today, unless Daryl Morey blows my mind and makes yet another move today. He's already made 6 trades, so what would a 7th be? But I think at this point, the Rockets' next move, of course, is after bigger fish, and it's not really within their control when the likes of Paul George and Carmelo might move. And, of course, if it's Paul Millsap or someone in free agency, then they have to wait until Friday at 11 before they can really start moving on that. So it may not happen immediately. I'd be a little surprised if it's tonight. But, yeah, hopefully we at least have a few hours to catch our breath before getting back on the rumor mill train tomorrow. But whatever happens, of course, I'll have you covered right here on Locked On Rockets and on Twitter. If you're not already following me on Twitter, please do at Ben Dubose, or you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Also, subscribe to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Audio Boom. You can find any of our daily episodes, well, 3 times daily today on any of those platforms. Also, email us, lockdownrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan community. Now, as far as the rest of the week, as I said, we'll have the rumor mill covered. Also, at some point, we don't know officially yet when Chris Paul is going to be welcomed to Houston, but I would expect that that press conference will be in the next couple of days because the trade is official. He's changed his Twitter bio to Houston. There's not much point waiting to delay him to the Houston media. We don't have a time yet, but I wouldn't be shocked if that's in the next couple of days. Now, again, some of it's going to depend on his personal logistics schedule. If he's stuck in LA for something, then they might delay it a week or so to give him time to get to Houston. I don't know, but I think they'd love to do all the Chris Paul talk this week and then save next week for whatever acquisition is still to come. So I think there's a good shot the next couple of days we may actually hear from Chris himself about that. And if and when we do, of course, I'll be here at Locked On Rockets to break that down and hopefully get some exclusive audio from Chris in the process as well. And speaking of my Twitter feed, if you haven't seen that, I've got plenty of video from Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey's press conference this afternoon. If you haven't already checked that, please go to at Ben Dubose and you can see what they said. For what I didn't get, also Sports Talk 790, who I work with, they have some of their Twitter feed as well, Sports Talk 790. So if you want to hear directly from Daryl and Mike, and rather than just my summary, then please check out my Twitter feed, Sports Talk 790. Not hard to find full video of Daryl and Mike from this afternoon if you want to hear a little bit more. So with that said, I will officially wrap it here. Again, great, great day for Houston Rockets. You've added a Hall of Fame player. Be happy, Houston. Have a beer, have a glass of wine, celebrate. If you can bring a Hall of Famer into your franchise still at his prime, boy, is it a fantastic day to be a Houston Rockets fan. So with that, go out and enjoy it, Houston. I'm going to crack open a beer myself, and hopefully I won't talk to you until tomorrow. Hopefully that means Daryl Morey will at least give us 12 hours or so to catch our breath. But with Daryl, you never know. So as I always say, stay tuned. For now, have a good night.